This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 434. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Alibaba and their groundbreaking conference for small business owners called Gateway 17 on June 21st to June 22nd in Detroit. Well, it seems that this White House administration doesn't want the press or anyone else asking questions. And when they do, they pass it off as fake news. But asking great questions is the critical to success in life and small business. Here to help with the best question to ask is Frank Sesno, who's the author of Ask More, The Power of Questions to Open Doors, Uncover Solutions, and Spark Change. He's an Emmy Award-winning journalist and former anchor, White House correspondent, Washington Bureau Chief, and talk show host for CNN. He currently serves as director of George Washington University's School of Media and Public Affairs. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry. Congratulations on 434 shows.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time, but thank you. You know how that goes. So what is really going on in the media today? Why is this thing coming up where it seems like the media can't ask any questions?
Well, what's going on in the media today is what's going on in so much of our society and culture, is that everybody, is overwhelmed and they're going too fast. And in media and our political life in particular, we're just very polarized. And, so what we see is partly as a result of that, partly as a grab for the audience, it seems to be easier and more of a crowd pleaser to assert and offer opinion rather than to ask serious questions and figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I think that during the election, I believe it was Newt Gingrich when he was being interviewed about how crime rates are really down and they were showing him the facts. He goes, well, that may be the facts, but that's not how people feel. Is it because people are so wedded to their point of view they don't want to listen to questions that might question their point of view?
Well, I think we've gotten so into our point of view, and so many of us anyway, that we are not stopping ourselves, as you say, to ask those questions. You know, for this book that I did, I asked everybody, what's your favorite question? And I got some wonderful responses, from Colin Powell. He said, my best question is, how you doing? Because I'm a general, I'm responsible for people, I'm responsible for their lives, that's just been my life, and so I need to know how they're doing. My favorite question these days is, how do you know? And that's what we should all be asking in almost every circumstance. It goes right to what you're talking about. Somebody asserts something, the first thing we should say is not, yeah, you're right, or isn't that terrible? It's like, wait, how do you know? How do we know that assertion, fact point or data point is correct? And, your show is for small businesses. You're going to ask somebody to invest in something, and you're going to tell them it's going to be a great investment or that that's where the marketplace is going or whatever. You better know that you're right. Otherwise, you're going to be pitching money right out the door. How do you know?
I think it's hard for a lot of the small business owners that I talk to, because I do see this fake news phenomenon both on the left and the right. But a lot of small business owners come to me, well, the president, he kind of pitches his ideas. He lies. He stretches the truth. Why can't I in my small business? These are the kinds of questions that are coming up.
Okay. So let's play the game here and ask the questions. If you do that, what are the consequences? If you're trying to get money, get an investor, get a new piece of the marketplace, what's going to be the consequence if you're building it on a false premise? If you've boxed yourself into your own set of beliefs and you're not going to challenge your own biases, what's going to happen when you try to make the next big play for a changing and dynamic marketplace? So I think that, posing these questions, I have a chapter in the book on strategic questioning. It's sort of looking over the horizon, going past the next quarterly statement, or in my case, or in the case of politics, as we've been discussing, past the next news cycle. And part of doing that is asking yourself and those around you, what are the upsides, what are the downsides, what are we not thinking of, so that you can really challenge yourself and others in the room. Brainstorming for creativity and imagining the future is all about posing this sort of dynamic, almost pretend question to the room so that people can brainstorm freely and be really creative so you can take yourself to the next level.
We're talking with Frank Sesno, who's the author of a great new book called Ask More, The Power of Questions to Open Doors, Uncover Solutions, and Spark Change. Frank, I always thought that the sign of a leader is really the one that asks the best questions. And I think this is hard for a lot of small business owners because we're so used to doing the talking, we're so used to selling people our stuff that we don't sit back and listen and ask questions.
So much of my book and this whole process is about listening. The best questioners are the best listeners, the best interviewers are the best listeners, and the best leaders are the best listeners. Things change in leadership, whether it's change in your personnel and the people you're dealing with because someone has a crisis or someone suddenly quits. They change in the marketplace because everything moves so quickly. They change in technology by the moment because suddenly you've got a new software that's come that's going to replace something else. And so if you're not asking yourself, what does this change? What are the upsides? What am I not thinking about? How does this affect my business? Where is my marketplace going? What are young people doing now? Where's the competition coming from? How does this threaten me tomorrow, next week, 6 months from now, 3 years from now? What do I want my business to be? If those questions aren't constantly being posed in one form or another, you're just not going to do as well. It's just I really believe that, and I've watched that, and I write about that in the book. Great companies pose questions to themselves and to their employees, if for no other reason, to really make sure everybody understands what the mission is. You know, there's research that shows that people remember what they say better than what they hear. So when you ask a question to someone and invite them to articulate a response, you are actually investing in their sort of understanding and remembering what the issue, the mission is all about.
And I think this is great advice, but Frank, let's not underestimate how hard this is for a business leader to really have their assumptions challenged and actually ask these kinds of questions. It is very difficult.
It's very difficult. Again, I'm going to come back to my leader, Colin Powell, who had a session when he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs with his commanders, and he would have them come in, and he had what he called the commander's rule, which is that he said the commander speaks no more than 30% of the time, which forces you to listen 70% of the time. And the thing was built around a question and answer period where they were sort of firing questions to challenge him. I write about Ritz-Carlton. Ritz-Carlton is a company that has defined itself around trying to create what they call customers for life. And they imbue in their employees the ability to question, whether it's questioning guests or one another, in the case of guests, to figure out what they really want so that they can deliver on what they really want, because they have a clear mission, this notion of creating customers for life who feel so special, they want to keep coming back. I wrote about Ben & Jerry's. When Ben & Jerry's started this company, they built it around this idea of a mission where they were going to be intimately involved with the community. They were also doing something they could do because this is what they could afford to do. It's a great story. But they were engaging people, and this notion of businesses and leaders engaging others around them is motivational. And I do believe, and we have seen evidence, that the best leaders are, in fact, the best questioners and the best listeners.
So, Frank, if this doesn't come naturally to you as a business leader, how do you develop the skills to ask questions and listen rather than do talking all the time?
Great question. Well, first, ask yourself what kind of listener you are. Are you an interrupter? Are you a gap filler? Are you somebody who's doing your email and your iPhone in the middle of that? Understanding how you listen will allow you to complement that with how you engage. Force yourself to stop. Ask yourself, where are three periods or exclamation points that I can replace with a question? So instead of telling somebody, look, I'm concerned about the way you're doing your work and you need to show up on time, turn that into a question. Look, I've noticed you've been coming in late. What's going on? Are you okay? Literally work on turning statements into questions with the intention of letting someone else speak, hearing what they say. And then here's the trick. The trick is not to ask once and then move on. You ask that question, whether it's what do they think they should do or where do they think the company should be going, just to engage them, and ask three times down. Stay with that and ask three times down so that you're deliberately drawing someone out. You'll be the best boss or the best therapist in the place.
But one of the catch here, Frank, is that you really, A, have to care about what they say and really listen to the answer.
You have to care about what people say. You have to listen to the answer. And you have to understand and be willing to you have to understand that you're going to be investing time and be willing to do that. Right? It's much easier to run by the hall and say to somebody, hey, how was your weekend? And they say, fine, and you're already down the hall. That is to say, how was your weekend? Somebody says, well, my dog got hit by a car. And then you stop and you engage about what did that mean to your family or whatever else, or to ask somebody, hey, where do you think we should be going? And somebody, as a company, and somebody says, well, you know, I think our customers are, you know, they're waiting too long before we can get to them, and then really talk down about why is that happening, what's causing that, how do we think we should address that? You know, there's an investment in time that has to come here.
I love that, Frank, and I love what you said. Take your statements and turn them into questions. The title of the book is called Ask More, The Power of Questions to Open Doors, Uncover Solutions, and Spark Change. Frank, thanks for joining the show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much. Keep asking.
I will. Coming up, here's the next question. How to multiply the value of your business. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott. Taking a look at your roadways as you travel outbound on 57. You are forced off at 127th. That's all due to an accident. Crews are on the scene cleaning up the mess, and we'll see what happens. See how long this is going to be closed. You can re-enter, though, at Sibley. Now, if you are trying to get outbound towards the south, you definitely want to think about taking the Bishop Ford as your alternate. The good news is we're not seeing any delays at all with this crash as you head inbound. No real gapers. That's mainly due to the lack of volume on the roadways. Now, the rest of your roadways are looking nice and clean this morning as we're not seeing any major issues, just a beautiful sunrise. And if you do have to head out and about, do keep in mind that it is going to be warm today with temperatures once again in the low to mid-90s and sunny skies. Your next update's in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
Still having doubts that the mainstream media is out to get President Trump? Harvard University says coverage of this president has been 93% negative. So here's a news flash for the media. The people who voted for Donald Trump still seem to back him. So where does that put you in the overall scheme of things? Out of touch comes to mind. So does biased. So does disturbing. So here's a challenge for the once vaunted journalists in this country. Do your job. Tell the truth. Stop spinning. And keep it here. For the truth. AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
All right, I have to admit it was an eyesore, the chipping and paint peeling on our front and back porch. It looked awful, but thanks to CertaPro Painters, the porch looks brand new. The painters who showed up were professional, respectful. They were done in just a few hours, and when they left, the house looked brand new. They really are the best in the business, and it's not too late to book your exterior painting project. There are several spots open on CertaPro's summer schedule. Here's an idea. Let CertaPro Painters transform your home while you're on vacation and return to a freshly painted house. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary this year, and so we invite you to experience the CertaPro difference. For a free estimate, call 1-800-GO-CERTA, C-E-R-T-A, or visit CERTAPRO.com. That's CERTA with the C. Get that painting project off your to-do list. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated. CertaPro Painters, we do painting, you do life.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560. The Answer.
Well, there's a lot of small business founders that set out to build a business and then sell it for a modest price. And then there are those founders that build a company whose value just multiplies. Here to tell us how to do that is an acclaimed serial entrepreneur and visionary, Steve Little, who knows how to build and scale successful businesses and generate impressive returns for founders and investors, beginning with his first venture at the age 13, which he actually sold at the age 15 for a six-figure sum. Steve has built and sold dozens of highly successful companies of all kinds, from idea to nine-figure exit, including venture-backed software companies, which generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Now with his company, Zero Limits Ventures, Steve works with founders to accelerate the true value multipliers in their business and ensure that they have lucrative exits. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Barry. I appreciate the time today.
Well, most small business owners love multiplication rather than subtraction, right? So what are the multipliers in a business to assure someone sells for more money than perhaps meets the eye?
Yeah, well, that's sort of the great mystery, right? I mean, that's a great question, and certainly something that I coach business owners to be looking at all the time. Matter of fact, when someone comes to me and asks me, hey, I'm starting a business, what's the first thing I should do? I explain what they should do is figure out their exit strategy and what drives the value of their business. And this is really what sort of came out of a number of different consulting engagements I was doing. I'd retired from Silicon Valley, where I had a series of very successful acquisitions there, and was sort of doing some casual consulting with business owners of various types. And I found out two really interesting things. Many, if not most, in the 90 percentile, business owners don't really know what's driving the value of their business. They're making some assumptions that revenue and earnings equals value, and to some degree that's true. Those are certainly key elements of the formula. But there are usually other elements that are really the key multipliers, the things that really skyrocket the value of a business. And identifying those early as you begin to grow your business allows you to make really intelligent decisions about where to invest. I mean, you can choose to invest in things that build your value, or you can choose to invest in things that don't build your value. But at least if you know the things that are building your value, you're going to know when you're investing in those and when you're not, right? So you can really very effectively manage the value growth of your business. You know, a lot of people think that just growing revenue and earnings is growing value. And that's oftentimes not really the case. And certainly when you get 10 to 12 years down the road, the incremental value growth for incremental revenue and earnings growth is usually pretty nominal.
So let's talk about what those multipliers are. You know, standard advice says that if you have IP versus a service-oriented business, IP will get a higher multiplier. Is that true?
That certainly helps. There's no question about it. So here's the thing to look at. There's a very simple overriding principle, right? There are things that exist in your business today that are constraining its value, things that you missed along the way. And they can be simple things. It can be things like documentation. Well, we found an error in a cap table once that ended up creating $4 million worth of value to the owner just overnight. Right? So there's things there that you can alleviate and release value into your business. So knowing all the different factors that actually contribute to value in the existing business is important. But to the question you're asking about is really more about what are the strategic things I can do to really position myself much more aggressively. And they include things like intellectual property. They also include various types of strategic relationships and various types of other market conditions. I'll give you a quick example. We had a trucking company once. It was a very solid business. It's been around about 12 years, very successful. You know, I like to say they had a Christmas party every year and people got vacations, right? So it's a good business, right? The problem they had was the value multiple on trucking, on the trucking industry in their region at that time was 0.85,
wow,
which meant their business was worth 0.85 times their earnings. So if you do the pencil, paper math, pretty quickly you realize it's hard to get a massive return out of a business that has a sub-1 multiple, right? Went through a process with them that we do with many, many businesses called a valuation growth exit strategy assessment. And what we ascertained was there were highly leverageable assets inside that business that had to do with their position in the market. So about 90% of their payload was energy-related equipment, and they had some logistical advantages in their regional market because they made some investment in software. We put those two things together, rebranded the company, didn't change the company operationally at all, just rebranded them, moved them into the energy logistics market, called them an energy logistics company, not a trucking company, and we picked up 5 points of a 7-point multiple.
Wow.
So we took them from 0.85 to 5 in less than a year just by rebranding the company.
Wow.
So it was finding that internal element of the business, that key value driver, which was the centricity of energy logistics in their active business model, that led us to a way to generate a high multiple return.
So, Steve, a lot of folks are really looking for that strategic buyer rather than a financial buyer because they know if they can find a strategic one, they'll get a better price. How do you do that?
Well, so there's a little bit of a misconception there. That is often true, but not necessarily true. And here's why. Right now, what we're seeing in the market, and have been seeing this, the trigger point was when Keurig was acquired. You know, all of a sudden, all of us M&A people were sitting around going, what just happened? A private equity buyer went in and bought Keurig for a 75% premium. What's going on? You know, I mean, it used to be strategic buyers paid more money. Here's a private equity buyer paying a lot more money, right? And then we saw a trend. So now we're actually seeing private equity players pay substantially more for their companies than the strategic buyers. So we're seeing strategic buyers sort of lock their cash up and private equity buyers more active in the M&A market. But that changes over time. So this time, 6 months from now, I may be telling the story in the exact opposite way. So really, it's understanding the dynamics of the M&A segment so that when you work with a professional, please, the number one thing I would recommend to anybody out there is do not try to do this yourself. Go hire a professional. If not us, somebody else. But hire somebody to help you do this because you need a level of expertise that you simply cannot have as the business owner. You're busy running your business. You shouldn't be an expert in M&A unless you're in the M&A business. Okay, So the point is that the way you position the business is critical in understanding what are the interests of the buyer. So it's just like your product. When you first came up with a product, you had an idea for a product. You probably went out and talked to some people and said, hey, if I made a product that did this, would you be interested in that? Would you buy it? How much would you pay for it? That kind of thing. And why would you buy it? So on. It's very similar when you go to start making a market for a business. You're looking for through a pool of buyers. And I like to describe this as there are dozens and dozens of buying classes for your business. So by example, a competitor could be a buying class, or all the competitors in your market could be a buying class. They're potential buyers, and they're going to have an interest in buying you because of their competitive posture with you, something related to that. A strategic partner could be a potential buying class where, you know, they've been partnered with you for years, and now they want to bring you in-house and make you part of their family or take advantage of your customers or your IP or your personnel or that kind of thing, right? There could be another company who is not in your market today that wants to buy their way into your market. So they might be interested in bringing their products into your customers. So they're going to require you primarily to get access to your customers, right? And then, of course, there's buyers who have customers and want your IP and so on. So you can envision that there's lots of different reasons that a buyer is interested in buying. And understanding what those reasons are gives you the key value advantage that we're talking about.
I think that's
so.
Totally,
if I have a buyer, for instance, who's interested in buying my company because they want access to my customers, I'm going to give you a simple example.
We've got about 30
access
seconds
to my
left,
customer.
Steve.
Then what? Never mind.
Oh no, no, I think
the point,
Steve,
is that
you bring out a great point. You got to the small business owner has to realize what does the buyer value. So, Steve, thanks for being on the show. If you want to reach Steve, it's www.zerolimitsventures.com. Thanks again, Steve.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Coming up, there is a lot of data around your company. The easy way to analyze it so you can tell exactly what your customer needs. This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Larry Elder sees Democrats using members of Congress.
Al Green, another member of Congress who happens to be black, is, along with Maxine Waters, probably the two biggest voices on the Hill for impeachment.
I mean, they know these two people are hysterics.
They know that if Maxine Waters were a white Republican, people would call her unhinged. Those two people will have safe seats and they'll be reelected. So we'll just put them out there, have them yell and scream about impeachment. Can you say being used?
The Larry Elder Show. Now, on weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9, on AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris DeMeo. Three U.S. Army Rangers are killed in a suspected insider attack in Afghanistan.
Afghan officials say that a member of the country's commando forces turned his gun on U.S. troops he was training with, killing three Army Rangers and wounding another. It happened during a joint Afghan-U.S. military operation in the Nangarhar province in eastern Afghanistan, east of Kabul, close to the Pakistan border.
Fox's John Huddy. Police in Amsterdam are not calling it terrorism as several pedestrians are hit by an out-of-control car outside the main rail station.
Investigators say it looks like it was someone who was parked in the wrong spot, and whatever happened with that interaction, if he flipped out at the end of that, he took off driving, he smashed his car into a wall. I should mention that as he drove in the direction of that wall, he did manage to hit some pedestrian. There are no fatalities in that case.
Fox's Mike Tobin. Fox News, we report you to
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott, taking a look at the roadways as you're traveling inbound on 57. All lanes are shut down at Sibley, all due to an accident. Again, you're forced off at Sibley as crews are investigating. Earlier crash reported to be a rollover right just before the Calstag Bridge. That curve that goes around, sounds like somebody ended up pulling over there. But nonetheless, your best bet, just go ahead and take the Bishop Board as your alternate. Rest of your roadways are looking good with no major delays or accidents to slow you down so far this morning. This report is sponsored by Discover Student Loans. Figuring out how to cover college costs? Discover Student Loans is one of the top private student loan lenders in the country with great rates and zero fees. Plus, the students can earn a cash reward for their good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply. And we're going to see temperatures again in the low to mid-90s with sunny skies. Temperatures right now moderating in the lower 70s everywhere. That's a look at traffic. Hot AM 560, The Answer.
If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or interested in a side hustle, you got to listen to this. There's a first-of-its-kind conference coming to Detroit called Gateway 17. It's sponsored by Alibaba, a Chinese combination of Amazon, Google, and eBay. Gateway 17 is there to help you sell your products directly to 500 million Chinese consumers or to source from millions of products on Alibaba to sell here in the U.S. It's a two-day event in Detroit, June 20th to 21st, and speakers are going to include the founder of Alibaba, billionaire Jack Ma. And I have an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Save 75% off the registration fee. That's only $125 to attend, but you can only get this deal if you go to the page Gateway17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. Remember, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get access to these Chinese consumers. I will see you there.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went from being able to work
14, 16 hours a day with no problem to where I could barely walk a block to the store. I went on to the phytonutrients about 6 months ago, and within a couple of months, my medical doctor had cut my prescriptions down in a little bit smaller dosage. The next time I went back a month later, I walked into the doctor's office and he says, "My gosh, what's happened to you? You don't even look like the same person." He looked at my legs and the swelling had gone down. My blood pressure was down. The venous stasis ulcers that I had had on my legs for the last 4 or 5 years because of the poor circulation were all healed, and I'm feeling far better.
The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies free, and we'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Graduate, one of Ben Braddock's father's friends is giving him advice right after he graduates from school. He says he has one word for him. Listen in.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
If that movie was made today, that one word for small business would be data. Andrew Wells, the CEO of Aspirant, a management consulting firm focused on analytics. Andrew's held executive roles as business director of intelligence at Capital One and built solutions for a lot of different industries, including Coca-Cola, The Home Depot, Wells Fargo, HP, Time Warner, and Merrill Lynch. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Glad to be on, Barry.
Well, so the magic word is data these days, but most small business owners really have no idea how to access their data or to analyze it. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the challenges that most organizations are having are collecting data. And that's really where most small organizations need to start their journey in analytics, is by having a good foundation and a good repository for collecting what are their product sales are, who their customers are, what products are selling the most. Just capturing the data is really one of the first steps.
And so why don't people do that? Is it because, just like everything else, small business owners are so busy landing the next customer?
I think so. And I think also they don't know the tools that are available to them. One of the suggestions that I always give to small business owners is look at CRM tools, customer relationship management tools, that they can set up to capture basic information about their customers. This is usually the start of their journey and one of the most fruitful components of any monetization exercise that they can do for a relatively inexpensive cost.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that a lot of small business owners actually don't want to go back and look at the data or analyze it because they don't want it to be contrary to what they think in their mind.
That is one of the biggest challenges is we all have cognitive biases that we carry around with us that prevent us from making really better decisions or better choices. And overcoming your own personal cognitive bias around what you think at a gut level is going on in your business versus what the data tells you can be a challenge.
It's interesting because a lot of times when I come in the organization, I love to pull the data and I'll go to people, even the simplest things like, what do you think our sales were last month? And they'll probably say, oh, it was $100,000. Then you pull the financials and it was like $20,000. So it's really a lot different than people think. What other mistakes, Andrew, do people make when it comes to analytics?
Along with collecting data, to really make the best use of it, you need good quality data. And I think that's probably one of the other big mistakes organizations make is when they start capturing information, they don't capture it to the level that they need it, or there's a lot of mistakes in the data, which make it relatively unusable.
Yeah, there's that old expression, you know, garbage in and garbage out. And I know a lot of people use CRM tools or they want to use CRM tools, but the people in their organizations don't use it to the fullest extent. How do you make sure that it isn't garbage in and garbage out?
One, it needs to be monitored and used. And I think the more it's used and monitored, you begin to capture it. And then two, you need to embed it in your internal processes that maybe around review time or once a week, once a month, as you're starting to leverage the data, you can pinpoint where there's inaccuracies and go through the effort of training and cleaning it up.
It's interesting because there is so much data available in our customer interactions like never before in history.
There is. And, it's only getting worse. But Mr. Fuller came out with an idea, a concept called the knowledge doubling curve. Up till 1900, knowledge was doubling about every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, it's estimated that knowledge doubles about every 13 months.
Wow.
And with the build-out of the Internet of Things, IBM is estimating that knowledge is going to start to double every 12 hours.
Wow.
So if you can just imagine that, what a data that's coming at us, how to really distill it and make the most use of it is a challenge. And there are tools and methods coming online. For example, I recently wrote a book called Monetizing Your Data. That's a very prescriptive process for how small organizations can look at their data. Or they can hire firms that are at varying price points to help them monetize their information. But it's definitely an issue that's only getting worse. And the companies that do leverage analytics to compete in the marketplace are winning at a faster rate.
That's a good point. I think it's very important that you, as a small business owner, decide which things you really want to analyze, what questions you want answered, then go get that data. Andrew, thanks so much for being on the show. The title of the book is called Monetizing Your Data, A Guide to Turning Data into Profit-Driving Strategies and Solutions. Andrew, how can people get in touch with you?
They can go to our website, aspirent.com, A-S-P-I-R-E-N-T, or our website for our book, monetizingyourdata.com.
Andrew, thanks so much for being on the show. Coming up, how to build loyal employees even after they leave your company. This is AM 560 The Answer. Be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. Outbound on I-57, it's closed at 135th, and that's closed from an earlier crash. Inbound lanes, pretty heavy between Dixie Highway and the CalSag Channel because of that crash. The two left lanes are being blocked on the inbound lanes, but again, the outbound lanes closed, all lanes down at 135th. From an earlier crash. On the Kennedy this evening, the outbound lane's a little slow. Between Addison and Irving Park, downtown to the junction is 11, to O'Hare 21. Express lanes moving fine, but again, outbound I-57 closed at 135th. Inbound, heavy between Dixie Highway and CalSag Channel, and that's because the two left lanes are blocked because of that crash. Tonight, 61 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 89 and windy. Currently, it is 69 degrees. A little cloudy out there still. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or interested in a side hustle, you got to listen to this. There's a first-of-its-kind conference coming to Detroit called Gateway 17. It's sponsored by Alibaba, a Chinese combination of Amazon, Google, and eBay. Gateway 17 is there to help you sell your products directly to 500 million Chinese consumers or to source from millions of products on Alibaba to sell here in the U.S. It's a two-day event in Detroit, June 20th to 21st, and speakers are going to include the founder of Alibaba, billionaire Jack Ma. And I have an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Save 75% off the registration fee. That's only $125 to attend, but you can only get this deal if you go to the page Gateway17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. Remember, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get access to these Chinese consumers. I will see you there.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I've always said that we meet the same people on the way up as we do on the way down in business. And that's why how your employee leaves your company is just as important how they come in. Here to discuss that is Lee Karaher, is the founder and CEO of Double Forte, a national public relations and digital media agency in San Francisco. Her latest book is called The Boomerang Principle, Inspire Lifetime Loyalty from Your Employees. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry. It's great to be here.
I think a lot of people miss that point. You know, they're very welcoming when employees come in, but then they boot them out the door. And a lot of times people leave under bad circumstances.
That is so true. And it's so short-sighted because people, when they leave your company, they can hurt you or help you in today's social media world. And we should be doing everything we can to help them help us, not help them hurt us.
I totally agree. So what, in your mind, is the boomerang principle?
The boomerang principle is the belief that those companies that allow and encourage former employees to return to them have a strategic advantage over those that don't.
And so why do we see, except for large corporations where we sometimes see people come and go, in small businesses, is that very prevalent where people kind of do two or three tours of duty?
It is not very prevalent, but it needs, I think, for small and medium-sized businesses, this is going to be a paradigm shift that will help them survive, not just thrive. Because we know that millennials in particular, those people who are between this year, 22 in the workforce, 22 and 36, we know that they do not want to stay too long at a company because they want to stay fresh. And they imagine starting 3 or 4 or 5 years, not 7, 8, 9 years. So they will go and they will get other things to other experiences to craft their own career. But it doesn't mean that they wouldn't be loyal to you and recommend you or become your client or even return to you when they're actually more valuable to you later in your career. So if we change our mindset to say, you know, this person is leaving to pursue their own career that may not be available to them in my company, but they may come back when they're even more valuable, we change the paradigm and we're able to actually make our footprint bigger in the world, which is what we all need to survive and thrive.
I think this is difficult, Lee, for a lot of small business owners, because when someone leaves their company, I think they take it as a personal insult. And I always said, you can't, you know, people come and go. People have to do what's best for their life. But I think a lot of small businesses have a hard time getting over that.
I agree. Here's the deal. When we hire someone, we know they're going to leave us. The only
exactly.
person who has to stay is us.
That's right.
I'm a small business owner. The only person that has to stay to turn the lights off is me. So every time I'm hiring someone, I actually say to them, I know you choose to be here. Thank you. You've made it. You qualified to be here. It's a high bar to cross over. But obviously, if you choose to be here, you could have other choices. Thank you for choosing us. I know you're not going to stay here forever. I hope you stay for a long time. And when you go, let us help you be successful somewhere else so that you might be even more valuable to us and to yourself and return to us. So I say that to every employee who comes into my company day one. And that is a different mindset, right? A different mindset and sort of takes it all off the table. The, like, you know, going behind people's back, going, you know, that kind of stuff takes it off the table in the first week. So it's a very different relationship that we need to have with our employees that is much more open, that helps us, you know, not waste time and have more positive, productive relationships over someone's entire career, not just when we pay them, because by definition, loyalty is not when I pay you. Loyalty is when I'm not paying you and you still do good
right.
things for me.
Exactly. You know, I had one client who had to let a employee of theirs go. And on the way out, they helped to put together his resume. They did some career counseling. They made some connections for him, which ended up landing him another job. That person is going to be a great referral source for them in the future.
For their entire lives. So if someone left you at 35, they're going to be working for probably another at least 35 years. 35 years of having someone be your advocate is worth the pain of having someone leave you before you want them to.
So, Lee, what other kinds of things can you do to make sure that there is this boomerang effect where it is positive when people are leaving? What kind of things should I focus in on?
There's one thing that every company should do, which is create their own alumni program. So you see on LinkedIn lots of rogue alumni programs managed by former employees. What I'm advocating for is every company, no matter what size, should have their own alumni program that keeps former employees informed about what the company is doing, keeps them attached to the company in some way, shape, or form. And the easiest way you can do this is two things. One, you can create a private Facebook group and invite your former employees to it. And two, you can add your former employees to your newsletter, either in, you know, by email newsletter or paper newsletter, to say, you know, you want them to be informed by what you're doing. Those are the two things you can do immediately that will keep people attached to you. Sort of the way colleges do this, they want their alumni to be, you know, colleges rely on their alumni for recruiting and matriculation and for fundraising. Well, we don't even have to ask our former employees for money, but we can keep them informed so they can help us recruit and matriculate as well.
I think it's great advice, Lee. Where can people get a copy of the book and get in touch with you for more information?
You can find the book at all online and in-person bookstores around the country, and then you can go to my website, www.leecarher.com, LeeCarher.com, and you can download the first chapter of the book for free, and there's some assessments there you can take as well.
Lee, thanks for being on the show and your great advice.
Thank you so much, Barry. Have a great day.
Coming up, we'll disclose the one tool you're not using to help build your brand and culture in your business. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva.
Nextiva.
Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
You need an MRI. If you're claustrophobic, a larger-sized patient, or simply prefer an open setting, choose OpenMRIcenters.com. You have the choice to be scanned where you wish and deserve the most comfortable experience possible. OpenMRIcenters.com is your best choice. They're all freestanding, independent centers who form a personal connection with every patient. And they're far more affordable than a hospital or physician-owned center. They're accredited with board-certified radiologists and technologists. Most insurances accepted, including Medicare, Medicaid, and workers' comp. They also offer competitive self-pay prices. Same-day appointments available. Choose OpenMRIcenters.com for your next MRI. You'll be treated with the highest level of service. You can even listen to your favorite music. Reports ready within 24 hours. They've got locations in Chicago, Bloomingdale, Olympia Fields, Joliet, Orland Hills, and Delafield, Wisconsin. Schedule your appointment today. Visit OpenMRIcenters.com or call 312-440-0016.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, I've seen so many small businesses missing an incredible opportunity to build their culture and their brand. They're not using video. Here to talk about it effectively is veteran filmmaker and speaker and industry thought leader Vern Oakley, who is the CEO and creative director of Tribe Pictures and author of a new book called Leadership in Focus, Bring Out Your Best on Camera. Vern, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Barry.
Well, we see the power of video almost every single day in the media, whether it's Dr. David Dow being dragged down the aisle of United Airlines or Trump pushing past the prime minister of Montenegro or Melania Trump slapping away in Donald Trump's hands. Video is very, very powerful, and I think a lot of small business owners use it to sell their products, but a lot of them, Vern, don't use it to actually build the culture within their company. How do they do that?
You know, that's a great question, because I love the Peter Drucker quote, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Mm-hmm. So as small business owners, if we understand that we're developing a culture and that culture is going to attract the right employees and the right customers and make us good community members, there's a lot of different ways people can use video to do that.
So where do you start?
Well, where you start is you just realize that video is perhaps the most powerful communication tool that's ever been invented. You realize that video is best when it's used in an emotional way, telling a powerful story. And you realize that video is a sales tool that's 24/7. So to begin with, you could do your webcam videos really simply off your desktop. You could hire professionals who are in the local area, or you can hire agencies that actually have video as part of their strategy to build a client base for you.
So where would you suggest that a small business start? Because a lot of folks say, well, I don't want to do it myself. I don't want it to seem schlocky, but I don't have the money to hire someone to do it. Where do you get started with something that's a happy medium?
Well, I think the happy medium is there are a lot of videographers who are talented, young, and the great news is that one of the biggest growth industries in terms of education in the last 15 years has been film schools. So there are a lot of talented young people who can help you with that. I do think it's important for business owners to understand what their business is, what their brand is, what their positioning is, because these filmmakers may just be technicians who can help them deliver the video.
Right. So, Vern, what should that video be about?
Well, the video should be really thought of to begin with in the terms of what customers you're trying to attract. So if you're trying to attract, you know, customers to your pizza parlor, do you have, you know, San Marzano tomatoes and artisanal flour because that's the particular area, or are people buying on price? So you have to understand what kind of customers you really want to build your business on. And once you figure out that, then you combine the connect the dots between your brand positioning and those customers.
Vern, I think that's really good advice. The title of the book is called Leadership in Focus, Bringing Out Your Best on Camera. Vern, where can people get in touch with you?
Sure. TribePictures.com. We have a number of videos there. Or if you go to VernOakley.com and want to get a copy of Leadership in Focus, we also have about 20 videos that I mentioned in the book. And it's almost like its own self-learning center there for you.
Vern, thanks for being on the show. And thanks, everyone, for joining this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva and Alibaba. And, of course, I want to thank our staff, our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you make the money that you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hey, let me ask you something.